Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we talk about protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in these uncertain times. Today, we're going to talk with Steve Cates. Steve is very active in gun rights and gun ownership and constitutional stuff, and I think you'll like his show. He's also got a past background in law enforcement, and he's a big astronomy buff as kind of a sideline. You may have heard him on the radio. He's a frequent guest on Coast to Coast, the very famous evening radio show. And I think you'll enjoy this interview. And our next show, I think we'll have very famous radio personality John Ziegler on the show. He's written a couple of books about free speech and so forth. I think you'll enjoy those. And of course, we have future shows on some of the more practical and logistical aspects of holistic survival as well, like our last show, number 35, on survival communications with amateur radio, ham radio. And I know a lot of you found that interesting. So we'll be back with Steve in less than 60 seconds.
What's great about the shows you'll find on jasonhartman.com is that if you want to learn about investing in and managing income properties for college students, there's a show for that. If you want to learn how to get noticed online and in social media, there's a show for that. If you want to know how to save on life's largest expense, there's a show for that. And if you'd like to know about America's crime of the century, there's even a show for that. Yep. There's a show for just about anything, only from jasonhartman.com, or type in Jason Hartman in the iTunes store.
My pleasure to welcome Steve Cates to the show. He is the host of A Call to Rights radio show. He works closely with Sheriff Joe Arpaio, very famous man, of course, and he is on the Maricopa County Special Forces Posse, and I think you'll get some interesting insights into having a plan to protect yourself and your family, and just learn a lot about Sheriff Joe and kind of what's going on out there. Steve, welcome.
Well, thank you, Jason. Good to be with you on your program.
Pleasure to speak with you. I first became familiar with you when I actually heard your show when I was driving around the Phoenix area looking at properties, and I was in the rental car, and whenever I'm in a new area that I'm not usually in all the time, I'm listening to the radio, and I think that was you I heard.
Yes, Jason, and thank you so much for listening. The show is A Call to Rights, of course. We do a weekend show, but I think it's 2 hours, in my opinion, jam-packed with information on a radio station in Phoenix, KFNX, News Talk Radio 1100. But Jason, the real motivation behind doing this kind of show is taking what I've learned for the many years that I've been a volunteer with the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, and that particular sheriff, as everybody I'm sure knows today, is Sheriff Joe Arpaio, really taking a lashing out there from many of the folks out there that do not believe that illegal is illegal, with the interesting bill that's come to Arizona, SB 1070, on how to effectively deal with the illegal immigration situation. But thanks for listening, and glad to be here on your show.
That's a great that you bring that up. I mean, SB 1070 was so controversial. I don't think it's controversial at all. I think the definition of illegal is self-explanatory, but
absolutely.
You know, many people don't. Just give us an update on what's going on with that right now.
Well, it all started actually about maybe a year or two ago when the state of Arizona realized that so much of our funding is going to support the, you know, illegals that are here in the United States. And believe me, Jason, as much as the sheriff is not, in my opinion, a prejudicial man, nor the primary sponsor of the bill, Senator Russell Pierce, who I know personally, he also was involved in his career as part of the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. So he understands boots on the ground just what happens as we see this whole phenomenon getting out of control, where so many illegals coming primarily from Mexico. And I'm sure there's other countries involved in the mix, but south of the border is where the activity seems to come. The intent of the bill was to make sure that by the end of July of 2010, that law enforcement would have the opportunity, if they were doing a legitimate traffic stop, let's say, in one part of the bill, where they do have a legal right to question the ability of somebody to be in this country by either providing us or law enforcement with a driver's license or some other form, a green card or some other form of identification, let's say issued by state or the federal government. And that if individuals were then, you know, found not to have this, they could simply be detained, and the process which we call deported would eventually happen, where these individuals return to Mexico. And what's so amazing about this, and I've talked to so many of my friends that travel to Mexico, and they say, you know, Steve, it's so incredible. Here in the United States, we're trying to enforce something that the Mexican government is way stronger on, so that if we, as, quote, American citizens, decided to go to Mexico and decided that we didn't think we needed to have ID, we would be in a world of trouble. So I think it's only fair to say that it should work both ways. But SB 1070 was basically put the brakes were put on that by the judge, Susan Bolton, I believe, at the end of the month. So there's a lot of confusion here in Arizona, but the point being this, Jason, that this particular sheriff, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, has tried to champion, along with other legislators, the same concept that illegal is illegal, there shouldn't be any misgivings or misunderstandings about this, and I am amazed at the protest that's coming from this, and in my opinion, a totally misguided view of SB 1070.
No question about it. It's interesting. I've always heard, Steve, that Mexico does an extremely good job of controlling its own border to the south with Guatemala, and yet they think that they should just export their poverty from their corrupt government to the United States. And it is really, really wreaking havoc. I mean, these people come over our border. They're looking for a better life. Most of them are great people. We've all dealt with them. But there's certainly a criminal element, and that has impacted Arizona in a particularly negative way. And countries have a few things that define them as countries, and one of them is borders. And every country on earth has the right to protect its own borders. Yet in the United States, the political correctness crowd wants to malign motivations, they want to tell lies, they want to brand people as racist, and that instantly shuts down dialogue. And it's unbelievable that we've come
Jason,
to this.
Jason, you're absolutely right. And just to add, which I think is just more of a common sense explanation to this, for many years I was close to a Chinese family here in Phoenix, and they, of course, came here the legal way, acquired the green card. And I'm so proud of these two individuals. It's a mother and a son. The father had passed on. They came here with little or nothing to the land of opportunity. I love that expression, which I still believe, like I'm sure you do, that this is obviously the land of opportunity. But here's my point. They came here legally, paid the necessary, you know, fees. They've obviously gotten their green card, acquired it legally. And what I'm so proud about is the young boy and the mother soon to be, within the next month or two, will officially be a United States citizen. And having tied myself closely to the Chinese community here with these folks over the years, I was the guest speaker, and I'm saying this very proudly, in front of the major court, the Sandra Day O'Connor Courthouse here in Phoenix, where about 400 people are sworn in on a regular basis. And one of the gentlemen from the Chinese Cultural Center that I knew, he asked me, he says, you know, Steve, he says, you're out there in the media promoting all the things about our freedoms and stuff with cultural rights. He says, we'd love to have you as a speaker to talk about what it is to be a citizen. And I kind of felt like, wow, you know, why me? And I really mean that, Jason, to be very humble about it. But the point is, I was asked to do this in front of this group, but the main point of my conversation today is, if these folks did this, how can we then accept the fact that people who believe that they should come here and just, you know, throw their middle finger to the wind on this? Illegal is illegal, and I'm so proud of these folks here that, you know, have done this the proper way. And the young man, the young boy, who's now a man, has gone into the United States Army to serve our country, and he's gotten a full scholarship to the University of Arizona. So there's great stories, but it makes me very angry to hear the other side, just like I'm sure you, where we're going to throw our middle finger to the wind and say, hey, it's racist, don't pick on me. Look at what these other folks have done, and I think everybody should do that, no matter what the race, color, or creed.
And this isn't what this whole episode will be about, but it's very topical, so I just talk about it for a moment. I have a friend in Phoenix who is Muslim, and he sent out a bulk text to all of his friends, and I was on his list, so I got this text. It was about 3-4 weeks ago, and it said, hey, come down and support the rally against SB 1070. It's a racist law, blah, blah, blah. And it's interesting because I started asking him questions just via text. I just replied back and said, why is it racist? And he says, oh, they're going to do racial profiling, all of this stuff. And I said, but that's not in the bill. And,
exactly.
And then he said, well, police are just going to pick on people. And I said, police don't have that right, and they're under tremendous scrutiny. They can't pull people over without a valid reason. There's no profiling. Tell me where the profiling is.
You're exactly right.
You know, every civil rights group on the planet is going to jump all over the first little inkling of an instance where there is any sort of profiling or harassment or anything. The media, the ACLU is just waiting in the wings to just...
You're right, Jason. And to add more current information from you know, the boots on the ground here in Arizona. I was sent by some law enforcement friends of mine some pictures that the media obviously did not put onto television. Obviously, the pictures don't go on radio, but for mainstream television. And I like to refer to sometimes the mainstream media as the downstream media. That's one that I kind of coined.
The downstream media, that's great.
And I think it really comes, as we know, the end process of a river or the end. All the material that's garbage is going to be floating around at the end. But on a serious note, they sent pictures to me. And I know these are legitimate because they were stamped, you know, whatever agency sent them to me. Here we have these protesters standing on the American flag, having sprayed swastikas on top of the American flag. Racist flag was on one. The Arizona flag, which, by the way, is equally a beautiful flag, like the American flag, the beautiful sunrise with the star, was also desecrated. And in the bottom of that, there's some commentary, like a blog, and it's basically law enforcement to law enforcement. And they're saying basically this, and I quote, "Hey, how come you guys don't arrest those people?" And basically the response was, well, that's a federal thing for desecration of the flag. But obviously, that's not something that the federal agents were there. It was state and local police. But the point is, look at what some of these demonstrators are doing. I stood right next to the radio station when we had the large protest here in Phoenix, upwards of 200,000 protesters. I read signs that I cannot describe to you here on your show because they're that profane. I saw the black flag, which to me is the black flag of Al-Qaeda, rolling down the streets of Phoenix with people protesting with their fists in the air. This is a dangerous situation, and by no means, Jason, is this the end of it, obviously.
It's just amazing to me. And so just to tell you the end of that story about my Muslim friend in Phoenix,
sure.
He said, in this text, it's a very long text back and forth, he said, well, you can't imagine what it was like to be here as a Muslim in America after 9/11. And I said, what happened to you? I just asked a very simple question. I said, what happened to you after 9/11? And he never replied. A lot of people, it just really seems like they are trying to create an issue where one doesn't exist.
No, absolutely.
I mean, no, nothing happened to him after 9/11.
Right, and I don't want to pick on the youth here, but I'm going to say this. It seems to me, Jason, I'll be 55, and I guess that qualifies as a senior citizen, but I certainly don't want to think that. But seriously, I think a lot of the things I see going on in the colleges, I'm sure you see this today, we're not being taught, that is, the students, the full value of the true American history. I see most of the professors that I've come across, I mean, it wasn't so bad during the days that I went to college, but talking to young students today, I mean, there seems, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, to be a leftist slant, always challenge, always question, and any way they can get a dig here on some American traditions and values, it seems like that's what's going on. And it seems like a lot of these kids today, and I say this, I hope I'm wrong, but it seems like those are the type of people that were at the protest. But what about all the other good students that you didn't see at the protest? So I don't want to just, you know, blacklist all the other students, but it seems like a lot of the ways that we're being taught today in the schools today, you know, there's an encouragement for this type of dissent. And I think, you know, a lot of these professors think this is cute to have these people go down there and desecrate the flag, and obviously the students are doing it. But Jason, seriously, from the law enforcement side of the equation, I see a lot more. And what I'm seeing is a lot of hatred. And that's a shame because, you know, I have compassion for people just like I'm sure you do and a lot of other good folks listening to the show. But illegal is illegal. And I wonder where that line in the sand is going to be drawn or what's going to happen, because I can imagine a lot of trouble, not only here in Arizona, but across the country on this big issue, which will not go away soon.
We are living in a real challenging time in America. There's no question about it. So let's maybe switch gears a little bit. That's interesting.
Sure.
To talk about the topical thing. But what should people know, Steve? You've had a long career in law enforcement. First of all, maybe tell us, what does the Special Forces Posse do?
Well, this is interesting, and I want to make sure that everybody understands that Sheriff Joe Arpaio championed the program many, many years ago called the Posse Program. This is a volunteer program. Now, most people, when they hear a volunteer program, say, oh, well, you're not police officers. Well, Jason, this is what is going on here. There's over 3,500 of the volunteer posse type reserve program here in Phoenix. And what it is, you obviously apply. They do an extensive background check because not every single person would qualify for this. Just because you might have an interest in, quote, doing something to stop crime, they want to make sure that the people doing it don't have the problem themselves, that they'll be locked up in jail for, you know, prior offenses that are not going to let you in. But you go through a serious program, 300-400 hours of training. There's another level of the posse program where you can actually become what they call QAP, which is a qualified armed posse person, meaning that you can legitimately and legally carry a firearm in the course of your duty. And you're right out there. I mean, you're under the direction of a regular deputy. I've served warrants and assisted in arrests and do all that kind of stuff. And I think this is important to note, that everyone listening to your show, please, do something. I mean, you don't have to go out on the front line if you're not physically capable or want to carry a firearm, but there's always something for people to do. I mean, literally, you can call your local sheriff's department to volunteer some time. You can help with children that have been taken, that their parents have been taken into custody, where they need some advice, whatever your specialty is. But this particular program is great because look at all the money that it saved the taxpayers for so long. And we hear in this country, Jason, about the armed citizen. We hear about the individuals that are the militia. And you know something? I feel comfortable knowing the level of quality training that we've all received, and it's ongoing, by the way. We have to do what's called a FAT simulator, which is a justification for deadly force video training scenario that every Arizona Post law enforcement officer goes through. We must qualify on the range with rifle, shotgun, and pistol if we choose to carry all three of those type of firearms, but minimum with pistol. And it's amazing that the sheriff has come up with this program. It's been emulated in all parts of the country. And truly, Arizona was one of the great champions of this, and I'm so proud to be part of it, put in our time. We do so many things. But in my own personal way, Jason, I've become a firearms instructor, and obviously with a call to rights, a firm believer in our Second Amendment rights, but one that gets great guests like you have on your shows that talk about these constitutional issues. And I'm going to appeal to your listeners out there that when you're looking at setting up your own financial program and investing, which is also ever so important in these very difficult economic times, as you know best, I would like to add my little bit of, you know, salt and pepper to the discussion about personal protection. Because I think too many people, Jason, take it for granted that the police, believe it or not, that the police are there literally to protect and serve. And I'm not trying to dig law enforcement here. I mean, I just talked all about how good it is with this. But the interesting part about this discussion is the average time across the country for people wanting a response from 911 could be upwards of 6 to 7 minutes in some types, and maybe way more than that. And depending on the nature of your, quote, emergency, you need, in my opinion, to take and grab hold, an understanding, that is, of your own constitutional rights when it comes to, say, the Second Amendment. Even more important, the ability to learn how not to be a victim. Because like we say on the show, Jason, a victim is simply someone with no options. A great definition. So these are some of the things that are going on. And you know, we could get into the details as if you have, I mean, if there's time, if you'd like to go into more of these. But
well, just quickly,
it's a mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. It's first a mindset. You're absolutely right, Steve. But maybe a couple of tips on what people should do to be ready to protect themselves. If they don't have a firearm, they should get one. They should exercise their Second Amendment rights there. But they've got to be trained. They've got to be safe. Anything you want to mention there?
Well, I think the primal one, the very first one that I'd like to talk about, it's not just that everybody needs to go out and get a firearm. That is obviously not true. I would say do a professional site survey of your own home. Look at it from the aspect as if you were the burglar or the predator. What are the weak points in your home? I mean, how simple would it be for somebody, if you have low-lying windows around the side of your house, where somebody could simply break the glass? Well, there's maybe many things you could do. Install an alarm system. Maybe there's a way in a sliding door that a lot of people have a steel bar and a brace. Anything to deter the element of crime to get into your home. And then have a family plan. I always teach this. I teach both Arizona concealed carry, you know, for your concealed carry permit. I teach the Utah concealed carry permit. And I teach the NRA's Refuse to be a Victim program. And that program, the NRA Refuse to be a Victim program, is really not a firearm type of class. It's basically just talking about your environment. If you're a man or a woman walking out to your car, let's say, in a covered parking garage at night, what's your ability to respond to a deadly force threat? I mean, are you looking down and looking at your BlackBerry or your phone? Instead of looking around, do you look, and this may seem a little bit extreme to some people, do you look under your vehicle or around? And then if you're the kind of person that wants to take this even one step further, in many states, I believe in California, it's required that you take a class, or I even think a test to carry pepper spray. Well, go do it, folks, but understand that if it's taken from you, it can be a great detriment used against you. So always have a plan. I mean, we can get into so many simple things, but even in the home, I really take exception, and I don't want to name a company because that would be wrong, but you see this on mainstream television or downstream news during the commercial breaks. There's this particular company that goes ahead and has an alarm system, and you see all these people, friendly as they are, they all say goodnight, and then simply this. Somebody then tries to break back into the house, and this person has no, you know, covers on their windows. And immediately, that predator who comes into the door might want to kill that person, might want to rape or attack them, and immediately this person in the home presses a button, and magically the other person on the line says, hey, you know, can we help you? Help is on the way. That, to me, Jason, might be a false sense of security. It might be good to have that, you know, in the event that the door was left open and the alarm notified somebody to come back to lock the house, but please, don't use that as your first line of defense, ladies and gentlemen. And I recommend that people get training if they choose to go to the level of a firearm. They can also look at Taser, which is still a civilian legal device in many, many states. And if you choose not to carry any personal protection devices like firearms or pepper spray. Just have a better awareness of where your children are and what would you do in the event that the home was broken into. Simply have a safe room that you know that you could be well protected or at least stop the attack while police would come if you choose absolutely not to grab sticks, stones, or anything like that to defend yourself.
Let me take a brief pause. We'll be back in just a minute.
Now's your opportunity to get the Financial Freedom Report. The Financial Freedom Report provides financial self-defense in uncertain times, and it's your source for innovative, forward-thinking investment property strategies and advice. Get your newsletter subscription today. You get a digital download and even more. Go to jasonhartman.com to get yours today.
That's great advice, and especially good advice on surveying your home from the eyes of a burglar, from the eyes of a criminal. One thing, though, between tasers and pepper spray, I have never really been a fan of the taser idea. I like the pepper spray idea, and certainly I like guns as well, but it seems like the taser is really could, a lot of things could go wrong at the moment of truth because you've got to actually hit the criminal with those darts. If you don't, it's over, right?
Well, not necessarily. And again, I'm not a paid, nor is Taser a sponsor of my show about what, from what I'm about to tell you. But in law enforcement, we're trained, obviously, that the, like if a police officer is going to stop an individual, a suspect, and they say they pull their firearm, they obviously have to say the challenge, which is police don't move. And that's a legal challenge. But with a Taser, law enforcement would say Taser, Taser. Obviously, they would fire their cartridge. And you're right. You need to hit the target. And a lot of those taser cartridges, by the way, a lot of your listeners may not know, they have distance limitations by the color code on the doors that are on the outside. In other words, if you hold up one that's yellow, it has a certain distance, a blue and a silver. So the point is, yes, you could, as a civilian, miss your target. But what people fail to talk about, and this is the value of the taser, is that you're still able to go with the taser in your hand, because if you dismount the cartridge from the system, it takes away the electrical current. So you're still able to what they call press stun, you know, someone if they were actually coming to charge you on it.
Actual contact, though.
Right. In other words, it's like having the, you'll see the little electrical, you know, bolt coming.
The zappers, yeah, right.
Right, out of the side of it. But the point is, it's not over if you missed, but the truth of the matter is, you really need to be cognizant and aware because you don't want that to go off in your pants or on your side if you're just reaching into your purse as a woman or you're reaching into your pocket or vice versa. We want to make sure that you can hit the target. But pepper spray also has limitations, and I think this is also interesting to note, too. Let's say this way. It's a windy day.
Wind is a big limitation of pepper spray.
Right. Yeah. We're common sense guys, but we could have a wind coming in my face where the perpetrator's standing in front, and if I don't aim it right, I'm going to get a blast of that stuff. And Jason, I know from experience, it's pretty wicked.
I accidentally discharged it once, too. It is pretty wicked. And, you know, it didn't even hit me. It was in the room, and just being in the room with it really irritated my sinuses and for a long time. So let's shift gears here, if we could, Steve, and let's talk a little bit about some of the topics you cover on your show and any interesting points about what listeners here today should know about really the topic of a call to rights.
Well, I think it's important to first mention the website. It's simply this, www.calltorights.com. But to answer your great question, we cover everything since we're talking about the Bill of Rights. We're talking about 1 through 10 in amendments. We've got a lot of guests on the 10th Amendment about states' rights. And ever so often, we have these very special guests. I tie myself in with a publisher pretty heavily called Regnery Eagle Press. And they, without a doubt, from Newt Gingrich to all these other great guests out there, they have people on there that I think are so much scholars in their field. And let's say when we talk about the freedom of speech, we get, of course, great national guests, senators and congressmen, talking about things we all hear, Jason, about will talk radio cease to exist as we know it because there might be some governmental action on trying to control or curb the First Amendment.
Yeah, the ridiculously named Fairness Doctrine.
Exactly.
Which should be called the Unfairness Doctrine.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, what we should call it, you're right, is the Unfairness Doctrine. But having the senators and congressmen that champion these subjects, people from think tanks all over the country, the best guests possible, where, as I like to say, Jason, it's really not so much about the host, and I really mean this humbly, it's always about the great guests, because I like to try to think of this show, and you yourself have heard it, and you know other people out there that we would encourage to listen to it. We want to make sure it's something like NPR, but more for the right side of the brain, because the thing that both of us, I'm sure, would agree on, I never would want to become one of those talk show hosts that's screaming at the people that are calling, because that's certainly not my style. And really, Jason, if it's not going to get me the best ratings, I must stick to my guns on this, that I will always, for as long as there's breath in the body of Steve Cates, always do this show with the respect of knowing that it's an honor for people to call this particular show and let them ask the good questions and let the guests be the ones to answer it. Certainly we won't tolerate any profanity or anybody doing any kind of a con job on us, as many talk shows can have that perpetrated on them. But the truth is we cover everything that we can in the Bill of Rights. Our firearms rights are so important. We broadcast live last year from the NRA convention, when NRA had their convention here in Phoenix. We had 700 or 800 people at our booth, but it wasn't because they were there to see me. There was really two good reasons why they were there. We honored this particular individual from the Heller case. Mr. Heller himself, we had come to the radio show, and the rifle manufacturer, big company called Patriot Ordnance Factory, that's a big sponsor of my show, we presented to Dick Heller, the man who was told that he could not own a firearm in the city, in the District of Columbia, because the federal government there and the District of Columbia would not permit him, even though he's a federal police officer, at the Supreme Court during his daytime job, he was not permitted to have a firearm in his home. And in the event that he were to use it for personal defense against someone, maybe breaking in illegally, the Supreme Court, God bless the Supreme Court on this one, back in June, I believe, of 2009, with the decision, of course, that 5-4 decision in favor of this particular story that this man, of course, fought for so hard, Heller versus the District of Columbia. We presented a rifle inscribed on the side of the rifle, Hero of the Second Amendment. And as I presented it to Dick Heller, another guy who's very famous, we all know, of course, Ted Nugent comes across the floor of the show and says, "Hey, Steve, give me that rifle." And I looked at him, and he sat down in the seat, and he's on the air, and he says, "I want to present that rifle tomorrow and again present that to the big crowd with about 5,000 people on stage." Because as all people out there, whether we're just beginners in this and learning about our constitutional rights, this particular event we're so proud to be part of with Dick Heller, and we're certainly going to continue here on A Call to Rights talking more about what people need to know, Jason, about how to stay free and never be a victim is what we're what's the main theme of our show. That's what we're all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other good guests or points that you want to talk about that the show covers? I mean, that was great.
Yes, we get into the history of espionage very heavily, and I had a retired KGB general just on a few weeks ago, Oleg Kalugin, who now teaches in Washington, D.C. at a rather prestigious think tank about how, for the CIA, not directly for them, but teaches classes that a lot of CIA employees, I'm sure, would benefit from, about the role of counterintelligence. We get great guests like that talking about the history of espionage, what is happening in this country today with the Patriot Act, let's say. What is going to be the shape of America 10 or 15 years from now? Are we all going to be forced to have a national ID card? Is the Second Amendment going to be going away anytime soon? And what can we do to keep and preserve all of our Bill of Rights? But coming up shortly, we're going to be also, from my visit, as you know, Jason, I was invited by the United States Navy with our crew, both video and still photography, to go out to the USS Carl Vinson out at sea to see exactly what our Navy, you know, men and women, the proud people who serve our military, what they do. And, you know, coming back from that, not only was it a roller coaster ride, landing on the plane and blasting off with a catapult exit off of our day-and-a-half visit, you got to love what those people are doing. And I'm so proud to say that we saw this. I'm so fortunate to be able to see. But we're going to have one of the commanders on live. The Carl Vinson is continuing to steam out somewhere in the Pacific off of California, way out there. Talk to them live about some of the things that we couldn't ask on the particular time we were on the ship. But great guests like that. And we also cover, in closing, all of the political things that are going on here. Who's running for governor? We get all the congressional candidates, people running for the, you know, the gubernatorial race, and everything to do with every office that's important, from constable all the way to governor and United States senators. So we encourage people to check out calltorights.com, and radio station is KFNX. We're on Saturdays noon to 2. And Jason, I didn't want it to be a commercial about that, but I'm proud of it.
It's a good show. I've heard it myself.
Thank you, Steve.
I
hope it comes through.
All right. Well, hey, what would you like to just say in closing that people should really keep in mind, that they should do, action steps they can take? The show is really about protecting the people, places, and profits people care about in uncertain times. And these are very uncertain times. I mean, there are people out here who think we're going to have civil unrest. And
let's hope not, right?
Yeah, let's hope not, but we may see some little instances of that here and there. Just wrap it up for us.
Well, Jason, thank you again for having me on your program. And I think in the short time to wrap up, I would just like to give these bits of encouragement to folks. Always be on the positive side, no matter how bad things are. If we listen traditionally to downstream media, we're going to have our heads down. We're going to need to take prescription drugs. We don't need that. Just have a good balance in our lives. And I'm striving for that. I'm not the expert at it. A good body, mind, body, and spirit balance. And, of course, in the financial area, with your expertise, you know, guiding us through what ways to invest and do it properly. We need that plan, in my opinion. So not only does A Call to Rights with Steve Cates try to at least offer some solutions, but even more important than the show, Jason, have a plan. Never be a victim. Refuse to be a victim. And what does that mean? It's a broad-based statement. Have a plan. What's your food preparedness in life? How are your children prepared to deal with any situations that may come their way? They're not going to hear this information in the schools. And if people do feel a necessity for firearms, by all means, get training. Go to a qualified instructor. There's so many of them out there, and I'm sure they'd be more than happy to guide people through the legal and judicious use and noble uses of firearms, such as hunting. You know, that's a noble use of a firearm. We're always hearing the bad things. This is the time now to get prepared. You know, if you do need to feel that you need to provide yourself with a little ammunition, just have a go bag or something like that in the event that things were going bad. But always try to think positive. Let's pray and hope that in our great country it never gets to that. But never be a victim is the basic summary.
Good advice. Well, Steve Cates, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate the thoughts.
Thank you so much, Jason, for having me on your program, and good luck to you.
Are you ready to begin making huge profits in mobile homes and mobile home parks? If so, check out Mobile Home University's Boot Camp in a Box. You'll learn how to find and evaluate mobile homes and mobile home parks, how to drastically reduce park expenses, how to develop an effective management team, how to market and advertise to fill up your park, and much more. The Mobile Home University Boot Camp in a Box is available at special savings at jasonhartman.com.
Thank you for joining us today for the Holistic Survival Show, protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Be sure to listen to our Creating Wealth Show, which focuses on exploiting the financial and wealth creation opportunities in today's economy. Learn more at www.jasonhartman.com or search Jason Hartman on iTunes. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, offering very general guidelines and information. Opinions of guests are their own, and none of the content should be considered individual advice. If you require personalized advice, please consult an appropriate professional. Information deemed reliable, but not guaranteed.